It's been amazing to see everybody involved. I just want you to watch the screen, and we're going to watch a quick trailer before we chat this morning.
And wrap you up like a little holy sausage.
What's that?
That's the baby Jesus from the church. He's supposed to be sleeping in his crib.
Oh, baby Jesus, they don't understand. I'm not stealing you. I just want to get you warm.
Because that is what families do. They shelter each other from the storm. They bring joy where there is sadness. Warmth where there is none.
So, just out of interest, has anybody watched this yet? Anybody? Well, there you go. So, one person, Lydia. We'll get to it a wee bit later. If you haven't been with us in our family services, you won't have heard that our theme this year in our kids and youth is truth, then, dare, and we have a different then monthly theme. This month, we're thinking about how God is good, so we dare to ask in faith. We dare to ask him in faith that we believe we serve a good, good Father who wants to give us good gifts, as it says in James 1:17, that whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father who created all the lights in heavens. He never changes. But at the minute, obviously, we're waiting patiently and expectantly, or maybe just expectantly, to see if we're going to get what we have put on our list. To other people, to our parents, to Santa. And we're waiting to see if we get what we've asked. Or maybe you're one of those people who has said, just surprise me. Anybody like that here? Because you can't decide what you want. But if you can't even decide what you want, how do you expect somebody else to know what they get you, okay? But just so you know, as you can see, I got my official certificate to prove that I am on the nice list. Also thought I would run through some of the lists that if you were thinking of getting me or Charlene or Luke something for Christmas, that this is what you would get us. So starting off with me, here is a picture of a really nice pair of trainers that would really help me run fast in the park run that I've started, okay? Secondly, and this is a wee bit more expensive, but if you really thought, oh, I could get Luke something, he really has his eyes on his camera, don't you, Luke? And then lastly, Charlene would really like a date with Aquaman. But the song that comes to mind is, there can be miracles when you believe, or maybe it's Aerosmith, dream on, dream on. Obviously, if you know me well, though, you'll know that I am big into music. And one of my favorite Christmas traditions is the battle for the Christmas number one. So last week, the winner of X Factor was decided, and they released this single, which is a cover of The Power of Love, which is a duet with James Arthur. And one of my habits is I tend to get obsessed with songs and I overplay them until I don't really like them anymore. So this week, last week, Luke had to put up with this song over and over again in the van. Bless you, okay? But do you know what? The words actually were a timely reminder, however, as we come up to Christmas, of why we as Christians celebrate Christmas, that love came down. And right from the beginning, in the garden, God gave us the option to reject him and the power to choose him. Love is a choice, but we have lost sight of the true meaning of love and the true meaning of Christmas. God loves us with this incredible supernatural love, this agape love that is mentioned in the Bible. Agape love is selfless, it's sacrificial, it's unconditional love. It is the highest of the four types of love in the Bible. This is different from family love, friendship love, and romantic love, otherwise known as those other three words on the screen that I'm not quite sure how to pronounce. But whether you realize it or not, since Adam and Eve brought sin into the world, there's a battle for our worship happening every single day. We're bombarded with images from all types of sources that want our affection. They want our worship. The internet has become so sophisticated that if you search something on Google or click on something, it will remember and then keep showing up on your social media pages until you break and you decide to buy it. Has that happened to anybody here? Because you've heard, you break it, you buy it. Now it's they break you and you buy it. Even if you put something in your basket and you decide, you resist temptation, then you get an email saying, you forgot something? And you're like, yes, I was trying to forget it because it was going to take all my money. But Christmas time is probably the time when the battle for our worship is at its fiercest. There is so much pressure to make each Christmas better than the last. Better TV ads, better presents, trying to release new songs which can be up there with the classics like The Pogues, Slade, and of course, Jingle Bells. But sometimes we can actually become tired of hearing the same songs and carols or watching the same movies. There can seem like a lack of choice. But you know what? Limiting our choices isn't such a bad thing sometimes because it can help keep us focused. When you hear these songs and see the movies are on, it reminds you that Christmas is coming. Too much choice, though, can definitely be a bad thing. We live in an age where so many of us are overstimulated yet undersatisfied. One of the most common phrases you'll hear from kids or young people is, I'm bored. Because they have so much choice, they don't fully appreciate the choices they actually have. The Bible is clear, though, that we must make a choice. Matthew 6:24 says, you can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship both God and money. So many of us are living for likes when our souls are longing for this love. We'll go on Snapchat every day to keep up our streaks, but we won't read the Bible to fix our spiritual leaks. The angel who appeared to Gideon called him a mighty warrior in Judges 6:12, not a keyboard warrior. Have you heard of a keyboard warrior? But like Gideon was hiding in that wine press, so many of us are hiding behind our filters and our screens because we are slaves to our feelings and our fears. I felt such a strong picture as I was preparing for this, that God has broken the chains on so many people's prison cells, but they keep refusing to leave the cell. They've become so comfortable in their discomfort. Like the Israelites became comfortable in slavery in Exodus 16. I believe so strongly that the power of choice is what fuels the power to change. Each choice we make has a consequence, and our daily choices produce our habits, and our habits then create the conditions of our hearts. So some examples of healthy habits might be, well, going to the gym regularly, eating protein with every meal, getting your 5 a day, fruit and veg, brushing your teeth. That's a good one. Maybe breathe on the person beside you and ask them, do they know that you brushed your teeth this morning? Putting on your seatbelt, using deodorant. Maybe don't sniff the person beside you. Daily quiet time. These are all maybe healthy habits. But unhealthy habits could be quitting when things get tough, running when you get scared, isolating yourself when you feel shame, lashing out physically or emotionally when you feel angry, posting on Facebook when you're annoyed, binge eating or drinking when you feel stressed, or not reading your Bible or praying when you get busy. Because remember, if the devil can't make you bad, he will make you busy. All these are healthy habits or unhealthy habits. If we want to have healthier hearts, we've got to start making better choices on a daily basis. As we make positive choices, eventually it starts to empower us to change. Think of it like your phone battery. When we constantly make poor choices, it drains our power of choice. It makes us powerless. What is a phone or a tablet without its charge? It doesn't have a purpose. And as we make bad choices, it drains us of our power to choose. We're just trying to survive. We end up in low power mode. But as we plug into God and the power of the Holy Spirit, eventually we start to change our power of choice, which in turn gives us the power to change. The same is true, however, when we make choices with negative consequences. The more we give power to negative forces by making bad choices, the harder it becomes to change. The enemy will do everything it can to stop us spending time with God because he knows the powerless thoughts become powerless words, which turn into powerless actions. If he can get us feeling useless or unloved or unwanted, we'll eventually start saying things like, I can't, and it's not my fault. Then we might start doing powerless things and eventually get caught in these really destructive habits like drug addiction, alcoholism, gambling, getting into debt. When God put lifeguards on my heart, one of the things that I noticed, I looked up a list and it said in more than 90% of cases, the risk of a first heart attack was related to these 9 identifiable factors. When I looked down them, I saw that one of them was stress. And it really made me think. But then when I looked up the list, I saw that actually so many of them can be because we have bad habits as a result of stress. For example, smoking and tobacco use can be from stress. That's one of the things that help people when they're stressed. Or when you have a bad day, all you want to do is eat chocolate. And if you have a lot of bad days, that's a lot of chocolate. High blood pressure can be one of the things that is caused by stress. Insufficient physical activity, because sometimes you just, when you're stressed, you want to lock yourself in your room or just not go anywhere. Just sit in front of the TV. Overweight or obesity, do you know that when you're stressed, that is when you're more likely to store body fat? And even the last one, excess alcohol consumption. Again, it can be an unhealthy response to stress. If when we get stressed, we just shut down and trade all our healthy habits for unhealthy ones, eventually we are going to suffer. If more of us prioritize Bible time over screen time, if we fed our faith more than our fear and talked about Christ more than our crisis, imagine what God could do in and through us. As many of us feeling powerless, so there's the other side of the coin. One of the problems I see in the church today, and if you've read Francis Chan, Letters to the Church, that it's a really powerful book. I really recommend it. Buy someone it for Christmas, actually. One of the problems in the church today is that we think we're God's gift to the church, when in actual fact, the Holy Spirit is. Or maybe we think our staff are. So they're God's gift, so we'll leave them to it, when that's not true either. All of us, and I mean all of us, every single person here is filled with kingdom purpose and have a part to play in bringing God's kingdom to earth. Just like Mary and Joseph had to protect baby Jesus when Herod wanted him dead in Matthew 2, God has charged us with protecting the gospel. We protect this good news with every choice we make, whether it's in public or it's in private. Because remember, C.S. Lewis says, integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. Do our choices reflect our salvation, though? Does the breakdown of how you spend your time, money, or resources reflect someone who has received this amazing grace? Sometimes to choose what is right over what is easy, there is risk involved. And there's no such thing as a risk-free faith. It would be so nice if we could have a comfortable, risk-free faith. But Craig Rochelle says, to step toward your destiny, you might have to step away from your security. So I think, really quickly using the Christmas story, that there's 4 risks that we have to take if we're going to find and step towards God's purpose for our life. The first one is we have to risk comfort. Jesus left the comfort of heaven where there was no tears or pain or any kind of suffering for an earthly body and to be born in a stinking stable. Mary and Joseph, they gave up their dream marriage to raise the Son of God. As I was preparing this, one of the annoying things about preaching is that God will always get you to practice what you preach, and you're like, why God? But actually, it's very good, obviously, because you don't want to stand up here and say something up here, but not live it down there. So I heard him tell me to increase my standing order to church, and I was kind of like, are you serious, God? Like January, I'm going to be skinned. Could we not wait till February? So I kind of had this wee argument with him, and he didn't reply. He replied with silence because he'd already told me what to do. So I thought, okay, God. I logged in, remembered my password for the online banking, and I changed it. And it is risking my comfort, but I know that as I take that step that God will honor me, because when we honor him, he honors us. The second one is risk commitment. That can be a bad word in these days sometimes, because we are slaves to our feelings and the fear, which means commitment is a rare commodity. FOMO, which is the fear of missing out, stops us from committing to stuff, and we then end up not committing to anything. In coming to earth, God showed commitment to his creation. In accepting God's charge, Mary committed her life to God's plan, and when he agreed to still marry Mary, despite her falling pregnant, Joseph committed his life to Mary and to raising a boy who biologically wasn't his. This was a risk and required a lot of trust. But as they committed, they saw God work. Third one then is, you've got a risk comparison. With the coming of Jesus being foretold by the prophets, which was read beautifully by Samara and Hannah, people had created their own perception of what this king would look like. They expected a warrior king, one who would lead the Israelites to victory over their enemies. They instead got this baby king, born in a humble manger, and who would grow up to tell people to love their enemies. It was so countercultural. Jesus risked comparison with other earthly kings. One of the biggest bad habits I see in people is unhealthy comparison, when we allow comparison to steal our joy. In order to be the better version of us, though, it's something you have to risk. But remember to stay in your own lane. If you're always looking at everybody else in their lane, it's going to slow you down. And yes, if you're going to go into God's purpose, you will risk comparison. Jesus did. But remember, you are created unique, on purpose, for a purpose, just like Jesus. Last one is, you're going to risk complaints. Jesus didn't preach a popular message. The gospel can be seen as offensive. People don't want to hear they have a sin problem. Some people may have wanted to stone Mary even, thinking she had cheated on Joseph. When Noah was building the ark, people thought he was crazy, so he would have got a lot of complaints. You're not always going to be popular. You're not chocolate. You're a disciple of Christ, so honor him, and as I said, he will honor you. But just to finish, I've got a few things that hopefully will help us this Christmas. And I was really struck by this in 2 Timothy 3. As Paul is speaking to Timothy, he says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly." Stay away from people like that. So just to finish, I've got some quick points that we can all remember to help keep Christ in Christmas. And I'm going to call it taking down my Xmas peas and putting up my Christmas peas. Bit weird, but bear with me. My Xmas peas are pleasure, pride, possessing, and presence. We can all get drawn into this, no matter how spiritual we are, of just seeking pleasure Christmas, that we become prideful because we're like, look what I've got under the tree. It's all about possessions and what we can get as opposed to what we can give. And then, well, just presence. Whereas the Christmas piece that I really felt that God wants to put back in the Christmas is praise, that we give God the glory for all he's done, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. Prayer, that we don't forget to talk to God, that we don't just put our relationship with him on hold because we're busy. Purging, this is a weird one. But as I said at the start, Dalton Harris has released a song, The Power of Love, and it talks about purge the soul. And purging means to make someone or something free of something evil or harmful. And another word that came up when I typed purge in was laxative. We'll not go into that, okay? But we need to purge our souls of the things that are holding us back. We've got to make the choice to get rid of those bad habits. And the last one is presence. In the new Netflix film, Christmas Chronicles, the young girl Kate says, there can't be Christmas without presents. But for Christians, there can't be Christmas without God's presence. So often we talk about the reason that Jesus is the reason for the season. But when we really break it down, we are the reason for the season. John 3:17 says, God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. It was our sin that brought Jesus down to earth. The baby who was born, who would grow up to die on a cross and then rise again to break the chains of sin. But this Christmas, do you want to be free? Do you want to leave your cell? I showed a trailer at the start of my talk of a short animated film called Angela's Christmas. It's set in Limerick in 1914, and young Angela notices at Mass on Christmas Eve that baby Jesus isn't even wrapped up in the manger. She's moved with compassion. The narrator says about the church, I'm not going to try an Irish accent. St. Joseph's, a church so cold, if you didn't go in with a cough, you certainly came out with one. And Angela just thinks, I need the steel baby Jesus to warm him up. So she does. She nicks baby Jesus from the church and she runs off to take him home and to warm him up. And I was really challenged by this. I've actually watched it twice. The rest of the short film is an adventure in her getting home unnoticed. But as Christians, through our words, but most importantly our actions, do we portray a cold Jesus? We're obviously not a cold church physically, because it's pretty warm up here at the minute. But we've got to be careful we don't end up cold or lukewarm like the churches in Revelation. If you want to keep Christ in Christmas then, just to finish, I'm really challenged by this by Steve Maraboli. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, forgive the guilty, welcome the unwanted, care for the ill, love your enemies, and do unto others as you would have done unto you. Why don't we all stand as I invite the band to come back? Let's just pray. God, thank you so much for your love, your incredible, supernatural, agape love, that selfless, sacrificial love that compelled you to come down the earth at Christmas. When you could have walked away, instead you walked towards us, you pursued us. And I pray that we never get over that, that we never lose the wonder of the cross, but we never lose the wonder of the manger at Christmas when you were born, when you became so vulnerable. And I pray that you'd help us to keep you in Christmas, but also that we would make the choice, that we would make better choices every day, that we would turn our eyes towards praise, prayer, purging our souls of these things that are holding us back, and your presence. God, thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name.